1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. Also, there it is, that you will be able to endure it. That's 10:13. This copy pretty well fills up our total picture, but we want you to be able to see it. I felt like when I saw this verse that we probably needed to say it over about 5 times. But we can't say it over 5 times if we're not able to see it all. So here it is again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, also that you will be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're going to move to one that we can see the entire scripture. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the uprighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. All of you are aware of the fact that we are studying the magnificent book of Ephesians. We've been in this 5th chapter now for a number of days. We find ourselves this evening in Ephesians 5, 14. In a few moments, we're going to begin with Ephesians 5, 11. So if you will open your New Testaments to that magnificent book, Ephesians, glance down at verse 11. We'll begin our reading there in a few moments. Most of us by now are aware of the fact that our purpose for being here is to open our minds and hearts to the wonderful, magnificent Word of God. We cannot be successful in our Christian lives if we do not have the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's an interesting and challenging verse of Scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This tells us that we have the responsibility of thinking God's thoughts. We cannot see from a divine vertical viewpoint if we do not think God's thoughts. This simply means that you and I have the responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to know the thoughts of our Savior Jesus Christ and utilize these magnificent and marvelous verses of Scripture. We're going to spend a moment in prayer before we begin our Scripture reading and our study for this evening. You and I are aware of the fact that we cannot properly study God's Word if we're not cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that you're somewhat odd or strange. It just simply means that you and I are to be normal. Being normal is that we are properly related to our Savior Jesus Christ, which means that when we admit our faults and failures and sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, our hearts are in tune. We're in fellowship. We're cleansed of sin. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. May we pray together, please. Father, you made it possible for us to be here tonight, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful also for the fact that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything we've done, except for the fact that we've accepted God's magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Tonight, we bow again to express our deep thanks for the willingness of Jesus Christ to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, virgin conceived, virgin born, who lived on this earth for that period of time, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and willing then to go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. Tonight we're aware of the fact that salvation is ours, not because we deserve it, not because we're worthy of it, not because we've done anything to purchase it, but because it's a magnificent gift that God has provided for mankind. We're the recipients of that gift, and we thank you so much for it. We're here this evening because we've come for the purpose of advancing spiritually. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're aware of the fact that life on this earth, for all of us, no matter how young or old we are, life on the earth is extremely short. So we're traveling a magnificent journey right now. We're traveling on God's highway. We have the responsibility of traveling that journey in harmony and in fellowship with our Savior, that we might have joy and peace and happiness, that we might enjoy life on a day-by-day basis. We realize that we have the responsibility of seeing from a divine vertical viewpoint, not from a horizontal human viewpoint. So you've given us everything we need that we might be able to see from a spiritual, vertical, divine viewpoint. And that's our desire again this evening. We pray that in these moments we're studying that we will have quiet minds and receptive minds, that we may be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And we thank you again that you have provided everything we need to make it possible for us to have joy and peace and happiness and contentment in this life. We're aware of the fact that many people tonight are burdened and in sorrow, and have various difficulties and troubles and temptations and problems. We pray that we will understand that you provided for us in all these various areas of life. We're traveling a magnificent journey. We are making our way on a day-by-day basis along the highway of God's grace, and our goal is to travel to the mountain peak of the echo zone. That's our reason for being here again this evening, is to be able to understand that you have a plan for us, each one of us individually. We pray that each one of us tonight will draw an invisible circle around self. Not think about someone else, but draw the circle around self to be sure that we are in harmony and in right relationship with our Lord, and that we're properly receiving spiritual fuel for our souls. We thank you for your magnificent and wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5:14 is our verse for tonight. But as I ask you to turn to Ephesians 5:11, we'll put this on the screen for you to follow along. If you have it in your Bible there, that's fine. If not, please follow as I present these verses. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Do not have fellowship with works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Do not have fellowship with the works of darkness. What we've learned in recent days is that darkness reveals satanic thinking. God has given to us light. The Greek word is beautifully presented to us in the New Testament, and the word stands for the fact that Jesus Christ himself said, I'm the light of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ has also said to believers, you have the responsibility of being the light of the world. The scripture reveals very vividly that darkness then reveals satanic thinking. We have the responsibility of seeing, as I've already said this evening, from a divine vertical viewpoint. If we do not see through study of God's Word, we will not have a divine vertical viewpoint. If we do not find ourselves saturated with the thinking of Jesus Christ, if we do not find ourselves in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be captivated with darkness, which reveals satanic thinking. Many times I've said over the last weeks that you and I cannot pray and ask God to forgive us of satanic thinking, because satanic thinking is a means and style of thinking. The only way that satanic thinking can be removed is that we receive a different style and type of thinking. That's the reason why I say prayer does not remove satanic thinking. There has to be in your life and mine as a born-again believer a change of thinking. That's the reason why our Lord said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the responsibility then to live on a day-by-day basis in a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. In your bulletin, you received again tonight this picture. It is now on the screen for you to see, and it's called Echo Mountain. Interesting enough, if you cannot see it from where you're sitting vividly, clearly, take a look at the insert that you have in hand. You will notice that there is an emphasis here upon the cross. I'm going to take my pointer here and let you see that we have an emphasis here upon an individual before the Lord, before the salvation experience of the cross. You'll notice that there's an emphasis here on an individual before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If a person dies without accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says that person is lost on his way to a place of eternal punishment. This diagram shows that that individual, having not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, is headed in the wrong direction, headed down to the place of eternal punishment. We don't want to stay there long tonight other than to point out the fact that we may have loved ones and friends who yet have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And we should be very concerned about them. And we should have a desire for them to be able to understand that when God loved, He loved the world, and when Jesus Christ died, He died for them. That's the reason why we've all memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. Quickly, let's move past the cross. Here's an individual. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that you look better than that, but I want you to take a look at that picture, and I want you to see how that particular person is framed. Notice, if you will, please, up at the head, there's an emphasis upon what is necessary, and that is there must be spiritual fuel in the mentality of the soul. That's the reason why you have that head and you have those letters up there. You'll notice also that the body is composed of O-S-N. O-S-N nature is what that stands for, just in case you don't know. So we all are aware of the fact that we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we were born again. We were placed into the family of God, but we still have what is known as a sinful nature. God has given to us a magnificent system. I hold my hands up here to reveal to you that God has given to us what we call a system of love, a divine power sphere. We have the responsibility of living inside of that power sphere. We're inside that power sphere when we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're able to move rapidly or slowly along the way. God desires that each one of us live inside of that power sphere. When we're living inside that power sphere, it means that we are making our way up into this magnificent life called the Grace Abounding Life, and we're headed toward the mountain peak that God has decided that we should have, which is the mountain peak we call the Echo Zone or the Echo Mountain. The reason why we use the term Echo Mountain is because echo is a Greek verb, echo, which means to have and to hold. That's a simple word, and so we call this a plan that God has for us to travel a mountaintop road, the Echo Road, to have and to hold. If you'll notice, please, that there are various steps that can be taken by a person having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That person can travel up the highway of God's grace, or along the way, that person can choose to disobey the plan of God and get out of harmony, out of fellowship, and not be right in his heart, her heart, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, please, this journey is such a magnificent journey that every person ought to realize that God has given us an opportunity on a day-by-day basis to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. I do not know exactly how long God is going to allow you and me to live on this earth. I'm thankful for the many years He's given me already. I do not know exactly how many more years, but I'm thankful for what has already been taking place in the past years, and I look forward to some more. I want you to know that wherever you are, whatever your age is, God has a plan for your particular life. And I believe that God designed you in such a manner that He is giving you the time that you need, and He's giving me the time that we need to advance spiritually to get to the mountain peak of this Echoes Mountain. However many years it takes, I trust that you're traveling rapidly on a day-by-day basis, studying God's Word, staying in harmony and fellowship with Jesus Christ, and that you're receiving spiritual fuel for your soul, that you're traveling up this mountain peak to the mountain top, which is the mountain peak of the Echo Zone. Along the way, you have choice and volition, and you can choose to either obey God and God's plan and God's Word. You can study God's Word on a daily basis, or you can use your volition and your decisions to not do that. That's up to you. I promise you that you and I, if we choose to disobey God, we will suffer as a result of it. On the other hand, we need to see this magnificent system of love that I mentioned a few moments ago. What we have here is a system that makes it possible for us to have joy and peace and contentment and happiness on a day-by-day basis. Out here, we discover that we're going to call this temptation. Here we are in harmony, in fellowship. We're right with God. We're studying His Word. We're loving Him. We're responding to Him. And here on the outside, we have Satan's temptation coming our way. volition, your choice and my choice, my decision, your decision, on a day-by-day basis, a moment-by-moment basis, is God's plan for the guardian of your soul. That which guards your soul and mine is volition. I say that slowly and deliberately. I reiterate it. Here's the temptation. Here we are in fellowship, in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here comes a temptation. The temptation itself is not a sin, but the temptation comes and we have a guardian of our soul, volition, choice, and we can say yes or no to that temptation. If we say no to that temptation, it means that we defer that temptation and we remain in harmony and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue our spiritual advance and journey. On the other hand, if we are allured by that temptation, if we are enticed by that temptation, if we find ourselves desiring to yield to that temptation, and volition makes a decision to say yes to that temptation, we bring that temptation, and that temptation knocks us out of harmony, out of fellowship, out of a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and we're under the control then of our old sinful nature. You see the picture here? Here's the individual. He's walking, she's walking. Each one of us have an old sinful nature. We're protected because we have volition, which is the guardian of our souls. We can make decisions right or wrong. We may make decisions right. We're traveling continually and being the recipients of blessings. If we choose to disobey and obey satanic thinking, then we're knocked out of harmony, out of fellowship. And what we have to do, if we realize this, is that this now is a journey that's taking us in the wrong direction. We're going down. We might be here as a baby believer and get out of harmony and fellowship, traveling down this road out of harmony. We may be a youth believer, having been studying God's Word over a period of time, but now we yield to temptation and we are traveling down this road. Over these past weeks, many, many times I've said to you, and I want to repeat tonight for all of you to hear, once a person makes a decision to yield to that temptation, what happens is we're knocked out of harmony, out of fellowship. We're not under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God now. We're under the control of our old sinful nature. Are you hearing this? Being under the control of the sinful nature, the Bible teaches us that we are doing one of two things. One is we're grieving the Holy Spirit. If we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, we will move into what is known as quenching the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very definite in presenting those two presentations of what happens to the believer out of harmony. I'll not spend any more time there because we've done that a number of times. I want to present to you, though, that here's the believer, however far advanced he or she is, if they make a decision to get out of harmony, what happens is that if they continue staying out of harmony, out of fellowship, they are subjecting themselves to what is known in the Scripture as the sin unto death. We've studied that subject, and so I'm not repeating that this evening. Let me move along quickly, let you see this. This is so important. I want you to see that we're looking tonight at these magnificent verses. Let me back up just a few moments. We looked at verse 11. Let's look at verse 12. For hidden things, it is a shame even of those things to speak which are done in secret or done by those in secret. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that I enjoy looking at the verses word by word. I analyze each particular word from the original language. I see something here that I should probably go on past, but I notice that there is what is known in the Greek as a post-positive conjunctive particle gar. It says, for the hidden things is a shame, even of those things, to speak. And the verb there is in the continuous tense, present tense. Many times over the past weeks and months and years, I have said, if you come to a middle voice in the Greek, if it is a positive presentation, you're benefited. If it is a negative presentation, you're not benefited. When I look at this verse of Scripture and I find this middle voice, I see that a person is not benefited if they choose to yield themselves to the control of their sinful nature. Verse 13 says, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. Tonight and next Sunday, I want to deal in my session next Sunday. Mike Walters has one session. But in my session, I want to deal with the presentation of what I'm going to begin now in verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead ones, and Christ shall give thee light. Along the way, we must realize, and when you're looking at this diagram of the echo zone, the mountain peak, and the fact that you and I have responsibility to have on our spiritual mountain gear. Most of us are aware of the fact that there are various temptations that can come to us. We've studied this many times. We've looked at the faults and weaknesses of the old sinful nature. We've looked at the trends of the old sinful nature. We've analyzed on one side the ascetic trends of the sinful nature. We've studied the lascivious trends of the old sinful nature. Just by my mentioning those words, I'm sure that there will ring a bell for you. Lasciviousness, asceticism. We're not dealing with that tonight, but I want you to realize that most of us, when we think in terms of sin, we will say, oh, I'm not guilty of killing someone. I'm not guilty of committing adultery. I'm not guilty of so-and-so and so-and-so. But the thought that came to my mind was, perhaps I need to spend a few moments tonight thinking with you about some things that may at times bother you. Would you allow that? Thank you. One of the things I want to say is that sometimes believers are guilty of gossiping. All right. Psalm 15, 1, 2, and 3 says, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He is not a gossip. He's not a slanderer with his tongue. Nor does he do evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. This is Psalm 15, 1, 2, and 3. You might want to write that reference down. Look it up yourself. Proverbs 25, 23 says, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. One of the things oftentimes that individuals do as believers is they are involved in backbiting, slander, gossip. When I go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, here's what I read. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. That's Proverbs 10, 18. When I go to Psalm 101, verse 5, I read, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. I notice it's gotten quiet here tonight. It's interesting how easy it is for us to think in terms of, oh, I'm not guilty of that. But then when it gets down here where we live, where you and I live, it's possible that we could be guilty of some of these other disobediences, backbiting, slander, gossip. I even go to Proverbs 18:8 and I read about a talebearer. It says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. A talebearer. When I go to Proverbs 11:13, I read, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. I appreciate your quietness. I appreciate the way you're listening. I want you to realize that all of these verses that I'm reading will apply to any one of us at any particular time. And that is, I want us to be able to see that we all have old sinful natures. And sometimes we can be looking at others and saying, we're so thankful that we don't allow our old sinful natures to do what those individuals are doing. But many times we can be guilty of some of these other things. In Proverbs 16:28, I read, a perverse individual spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. I notice here, which is quite interesting to me, four English King James words from six Hebrew words. And the words are, from the Hebrew, backbiter, slanderer, talebearer, and whisperer. We're talking tonight about what the old sinful nature can do to any one of us. Oh, should I mention this? Should we have prayer and go home before I even mention this? No. I think it's all right to mention this. What about anger? Would you like to write somewhere in your notes or in the margin of your Bible the little word A-N-G-E-R? Human anger never practices the things that God can approve, someone said. I repeat, number one, human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Number two, anger blocks God's good from the life. Number three, bitterness never makes us better. You might want to write that one down. Bitterness never makes us better. Number four, a temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. These are not original with me. I found them. I like what I found. I like what I read, and I'm sharing it with you because it was good for me. A temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. It has been said, you throw mud, you will lose ground. Through the years, I've said that because I heard it many years ago. If you throw mud, you're going to lose ground. Let me start over. Number one, human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Number two, anger blocks God's good from the life. Number three, bitterness never makes us better. Number four, a temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. You're getting some of these, not all of them, but I'm reading number five. It has been said oftentimes, when you throw mud, you'll lose ground. Number six, unbridled anger is a devastating sin. Number seven, it can create a distance in relationships, disturb children, and not accomplish anything good. That's anger. I think that was right when the person said that. Anger can create a distance in relationships. Anger can disturb children and not accomplish anything good. Number eight, Jesus labeled anger as the root sin behind murder in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Number eight again, Jesus labeled anger as the root sin behind murder in Matthew 5, 21, 22. Number nine, before Cain committed the first murder in history, God confronted him with a question, "Why are you angry?" in Genesis 4, 6. Before Cain committed the first murder in history, God confronted him with the question, "Why are you angry?" Genesis 4, 6. Number 10, Paul tells us that unchecked anger gives the devil a foothold in life. Paul tells us that unchecked anger gives the devil a foothold in life, a foothold in our homes, a foothold in our churches. In fact, oftentimes homes are torn apart by anger. Churches are torn apart by anger. Number 11, people often hide, be angry and sin not. Righteous anger is normally not righteous. Number 12, in Galatians 5:20, Paul gives a list. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. All of these are described in Galatians 5:20 as deeds of the flesh. In other words, the control of the old sinful nature. Two more. 1:13. We must face reality. If we cannot make it through a week without anger, then we're addicted. If we're name calling, throwing things, making threats, screaming out, then anger has control of us. And the last one, face the problem. Admit the problem to God. Take steps to root it out. Allow something far greater to take charge. The scripture says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. God has given us a great challenge. Are we perceptive to God? Are we perceptive to the Word of God? Are we traveling up this magnificent Echo Mountain? Do we use our tongues properly? Then God's Spirit seemingly says, let's dwell there a moment longer. God has given us life. God has given us eternal life. Our souls are saved. But oftentimes, the soul is full of other things. We need to manage our souls. We need to govern our souls. We need to restrain. We need not to allow anger or emotion to control. What I've discovered, and with this I close, anger is a Greek word, orge, which means to swell, as swelling which will eventually burst. Anger is the Greek word orge, O-R-G-E, to swell, a swelling which will eventually burst, an inner deep feeling that smolders and will eventually burst. We all have a sinful nature. And the Word of God is saying we're to have this under control. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that the Scripture here says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise, and Christ shall shine on you." We're aware of the fact that we have the responsibility as believers to be moving rapidly up the mountain peak of the echo zone. We're challenged by the Scripture, because the Scripture is telling us to be awake, to be alert, to refrain from those things which will be detrimental to us, and yield ourselves to the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that we might be victorious and triumphant on a day-by-day basis. We thank you for each person here today. We thank you for the challenge that the Word of God brings to our individual hearts. Help us to be able to see and really see. And help us to allow the Spirit of God to prick our hearts and then help us to do something about it. We thank you for your magnificent blessings. In the last moments of our service this evening, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone hearing this voice who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We do not know, but we know that you know. And we pray that if there's someone now who's never personally believed and accepted Jesus Christ, that they will be able to understand that the Scripture says so vividly that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. That's the reason for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We're thankful that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." He did not say, "I'm one of the ways." He did not say, "I'm some truth." He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." We realize that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. So we pray that there will be those who will trust you now. And we thank you over and over again for your matchless blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.